evening, everybody.
Good evening.
We are in Parashat Tazria, and we also are getting close to Pesach. On Shabbos, we'll have Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and we read Parashat Achodesh, Achodesh Hazeh Lachem. And one of the things that is in our Parsha, and we'll connect in a minute also to Pesach, but right now, I want to talk a little about leprosy. Leprosy is a very interesting thing. We'll talk about it this parasha and also the next parasha. There are a lot of times those two parashiot are coming together.
Yeah,
my son's funny. Yes. Okay. So now, Tazria is talking about this leprosy, which is very strange, you know, because today there is no leprosy. And definitely not the way it's written in the Torah. But the Torah, as we all know, is not just telling us stories, and it's not something that happened years ago. It's something that happens every day, and it's a lesson for us. So the question is, which lesson have you got in this leprosy that today we haven't got it? Also, another interesting thing, leprosy is like a disease on the skin. And if this disease covers the whole skin, the whole body, it's pure, which is also very strange, because normally if you're sick, if you're ill, if you have a disease, if you have a skin disease, if it's covering all your body, it means you are very, very ill. And here the Torah is telling us, if the whole skin is covered with the tzaraat, with the leprosy, he is pure.
Pure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is, yes, which is, here, well, let's see where it's written.
Yeah.
It's a very short parsha.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pasuk Yud Bet. Got it? I think it's the same Perek. Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Yud Bet.
Yud Bet, the first, the stone.
Yes. No, Pasuk Yud Bet. Pasuk 12.
12.
Let me see if it's the same Perek or it's a different Perek.
Well,
yeah, it's the same Perek.
That's how it's written.
Yeah, that's it.
Hashem spared to Moses the saints between the two of
them. No, no.
The Imperial people.
Yes. Yes.
What's it?
Yeah, but. Pasuk Yud Bet, Pasuk 12. This Perek,
okay,
go to Yud Bet. Yud Bet. Okay, Yud Bet. ואם פרוח תפרח הצרת באור וחיסתה הצרת את כל אור הנגע מראשו ועד רגליו לכל מראה עיני כהן, וראה הכהן, והנה כיסתה הצרת את כל בשרו, ותיהר את הנגע, כולו הפך לבן טהור.
טהור.
In other words, if all the nega, all this disease, I don't know how you say nega in English.
Nega.
What's the translation?
Affliction.
Whatever, we understand what we're talking about.
Yes.
Anyway, affliction, so if it. Yeah, affliction. So if it's cut, if covers you have here and there, place. You are tameh. But if it covers the whole body,
you are tahor.
Kulo afach lavan tahor.
To be turned completely
white. From nagua,
no.
Yes, nagua is the one that the nega touched him.
Right, so it's
nega is the nega itself.
Okay,
but it says
hanag. It says epoze
hanag. Veraa kohen. Veine kista atzarat et kol besaro. All the flesh is with this nega. The nega looks white. Okay.
Okay.
So, also very strange color for something that is like showing us a sin or something. But that's exactly the idea. The idea is that we purify ourselves and to become white. Now the thing is,
what did it look like?
White hair.
What did leprosy actually look like?
White hair that grows on the skin. This is also the skin that also a color, a white color.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few. There are a lot of, levels of leprosy. And also different leprosy. You have a leprosy of the head, you have a leprosy of the body, you have leprosy of clothes, you have leprosy of houses. And the interesting thing is, or Chaim HaKadosh says, this leprosy is only for the Jewish nation. The Goyim haven't got it. Why? He says a very interesting thing. Because the Jewish nation there, the inside is pure. And the outside, you have might have problems. But the real inside, what is the real inside? There is what we call the me, which is the fake me, and there is the real me. The fake me is Yetzer Hara. Me, 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 me. I want everything for myself.
The ego.
But the real me is the neshama. So the inside of a Jew is always pure. The problem is with the outside, and Yetzer Hara that is trying to influence us to do bad. The goyim haven't got it because they are all in the ways of the world. They don't exactly have this, let's say, this pure inside. So today there is no leprosy. So the question is, if there is no leprosy, why do we have to learn about leprosy? And also, why haven't we got leprosy today? And then, this connects to this interesting fact that if the whole body is covered with leprosy, you're pure. What is the idea behind it? So leprosy mainly comes on Lashon Hara. Okay, it comes on a few things, but the main thing, leprosy is Lashon Hara, talking badly. Now, Lashon Hara, the idea is what happens to that guy who's got leprosy, Badad Yeshev Michutz Lama, he has to sit by himself outside of the camp and think about what he did, and when he thinks and he does tshuva, the leprosy goes away and he can go back to the camp, which is also a whole procedure, but we won't go into it. We want to understand the idea behind it. So, why, if the whole body is covered with leprosy, it is pure? And why, today, we haven't got leprosy? And this is all connected to Badad Yeshev Michutz Lamachane. Because, if leprosy comes on Lashon Hara, and today we will have to put everybody that talks Lashon Hara outside the camp to sit by himself.
Nobody will stay.
There will be more people sitting outside together, and the one on those who are going to sit inside, they are going to be badad. They are going to be alone. So, there is no effect to leprosy. There is no effect. So if there is no effect, the idea is not a punishment. You have to understand, God is not punishing us for the sake of punishment. God is not punishing us for education reason. Now, if there is no result, so we don't need this punishment anymore. Because if there are so many people talking Lashon Hara, in other words, they all will sit outside, and instead of, let's say purifying themselves and do tshuva, they will sit together and talk more Lashon Hara.
Yeah.
So because of this, there is no leprosy today. This is one of the reasons. Then, this is also connected to the idea if the whole body is covered with leprosy. Because the idea is that you can see the problem. But if the whole body is covered, can you see the problem? No, it all looks the same. There is no difference. So if it all looks the same, again, the effect of the leprosy is not there, so it's pure. But this is a sign that, from the other side, to think that we are in such terrible level, that we have to really take ourselves in our hands. Especially now before the election, if you listen to what we're talking about,
wow.
It's really, it's so ugly,
yes.
And it's so, what Lashon Hara is a good word for what he's saying. And unfortunately, this is in time. To put us in the proposal, this is really, we're all covered with Lashon Hara. Wherever you look at the signs, look at the paper, listen to the radio, whatever you do, you're covered all over with Lashon Hara. So now we need a different punishment. We need a different touching. Nega is from a way touching, lingua. We need a different way. And what is the way today? Everything that happens to us. Like I'm writing
it's
this Shabbos course. It's a punishment to educate us. Like I told you the story when I've been in China and I had a problem going in. And the same problem I had going out was not so simple. When I went from Shenzhen, which is the border between China
and Hong Kong.
China, the big China, and Hong Kong. I again find myself on a bus. And this bus, again, everybody Chinese. You don't know where you're going to. And somebody explained Chinese good Cha Chan, whatever we told us, and we said yes, we go on the bus. And I don't know if you've been in Hong Kong. There is the tourist part and there is the terrible part, which looks really horrible. This is real, real China. What do you mean? And this bus is going through all those poor neighborhoods and we don't know what's going to be. We get to get to a hotel. And my wife talks with somebody on the bus, and Baruch Hashem, he speaks English. And he tells her, I'll show you where to go down. And
was it Chinese?
Eventually, Chinese, yeah. Yeah. The whole bus was Chinese. There was no tourist on the bus, believe
you
me.
You too.
No, we are the only ones that were there.
So didn't you feel different?
Different? different is a good word. Anyway, this guy tells us now we have to go down. By the way, he also talks with two Chinese, because you have to say, when talking about China, China is a big country. And for a lot of them, it is a dream to get to Hong Kong. And those two young girls must be in from one of the province of China and coming the first time to Hong Kong. Didn't know also where to go. Though they know Chinese, but didn't know how to get to where they need to. So the guy is talking with them, with Chinese, and they're coming down from the bus at the same bus stop that we are going down. And then he does those signs to the taxis, and the taxis like stop. Two taxis stop on the spot. I don't know how he did it. Later on I understood. And he takes these two girls and he puts them in the one of the taxis and explains that the taxi driver, in Chinese of course, where they have to get. An unbelievable guy. Says, and the other taxi comes in with us. Says, so what's going on here? Says, I'm going to the same place. It's okay. Don't worry. Okay, go in. We're going in. And we're getting near to the hotel, and we're asking the driver, please, asking how much it is. And we have, again, the problem that there they take only Hong Kong dollars, and we've got no Hong Kong dollars. So we're telling we'll pay you American dollars, and you'll change it to tell us what it is. He said, no, the guy, Chinese guy that was sitting near the driver. And then we're starting to talk, and we ask, he's an accountant that lives in Hong Kong and works in Shenzhen. So a lot of times he uses this route between Shenzhen and Hong Kong. And he knows everything. Now, because he did those signs to the taxi drivers, and they just stop. You know, you can sometimes stand there in Hong Kong and ask for a taxi and you can wait. They not always stop. And especially if you told them what you want to and they don't like the idea to go there, they just tell you no. Or they take a price, unbelievable. But this guy was from Hong Kong. They don't play games with those people. Because they can complain and then they know exactly what to do. So they just stop. And he does them, this sign means that we have to go underneath the river, you know, in the tunnel. Okay. Whatever. Now we get to the hotel and we want to pay. He says, no, I am paying. No, we don't, but no. I'm going to the same direction. Anyway, I had to pay for the taxi. I don't want you to pay.
Wow.
I says, look.
This comes from Hashem sent you.
God is testing us. This is the leprosy of today. He is giving you hard time and he's showing you things in order for you to increase your belief, in order for you to understand that God is behind everything. When it comes to the minute that there is no way and you don't know what to do, suddenly something happens and you find yourself in the right place with the help that, you know, you cannot explain it. Who would imagine you will meet on this Chinese bus a guy that talks English and goes to the same place that I need to go. Really. Because this place I want to go is the good part of Hong Kong. So definitely it's very strange for this guy. I didn't understand what he's doing on this bus. Because a guy like this normally would go with a different way to whatever. So just showing you, this is God sending him to you. So this is to teach you a lesson. What's going on here? And this is the idea of Pesach. Pesach, we sit the whole night talking about what? About Yetziat Mitzrayim. But we every day we talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim. Every day we mention Yetziat Mitzrayim a few times a day. So why is it so important to sit one night and again talk about something that we talk the whole year around? Because unfortunately, it's like I talked about it a few times this week already. Unfortunately, it's like this guy who's got a bad throat. So he goes to the doctor, and the doctor gives him those lachsaniyot, it's like those pills, like. And he tells him, you have to take it 3 times a day. And 3 days, everything's going to be okay. He comes back after 3 days, and the doctor is talking about, what are you doing here? What happened? Did you take the pills that I gave you?
No, so, of course, I swallowed them. And he's got an I cannot swallow even. It was very...
Who told you to swallow them? First thing, you had to suck on them. You had to, don't swallow them, otherwise it doesn't work. And this is exactly what's happening with us. Every day, we're telling Yetziat Mitzrayim, whoop, woo, we swallow Yetziat Mitzrayim. And again, Yetziat Mitzrayim, whoop, another pill inside, whoop, no sucking, no understanding what it's all about. This is the same way, unfortunately, sometimes we daven, sometimes we do a lot of things, like we used to it, like robots. This is no good.
What's it called? Robots?
Yeah.
Boat gym, that's the new word now.
What?
Because the elections say that all the people of Likud are robots.
I'm so lucky
that I don't listen to all those non-things. Right. Baruch Hashem. Unfortunately, some of those things, they slipped into me. Whatever. So, okay. This is exactly what's happening to us. We're the same guy. We swallow it. Instead of sucking it, understand what it's all about. So, then, we have one night. That night,
we don't slowly
understand that God is the one. Is the only one, and there is nobody else. And all the nonsense around us, they are all controlled by God. This is the idea of the 10 plagues. This is the idea of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Yetziat Mitzrayim is a basic, it's the basic of Emuna. To believe in God is believing in Yetziat Mitzrayim. That's to know and understand that God, He is the one, the only one. He was, He is, He will, and there is nobody else. This is the whole idea of Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
That's why we have to mention it every day. Because it's so important to understand that God took us out of Egypt. And this is not the idea that God took us out of Egypt. The idea is that through the procedure of taking us out of Egypt, we saw God. We saw that God is the one and the only one. Because when the world was created, there were no witnesses. Nobody saw the world created by God. So what is the proof that God is, that God exists, that God, He did everything? What's the proof? Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's like in Sefer Kuzari, when the king of Kuzar wants to worship God. And he does all those things. And an angel reveals himself in a dream and tells him, "You are a very nice guy, you know. Your intentions are very good. But your deeds, no good." And the interesting thing is, and we talked about it a few times, he doesn't tell him what to do. But this guy wants to worship God. So what will be the reasonable thing to do? If an angel already reveals himself to him, what will be the reasonable thing
to do? Teach him how to do.
Tell him what to do. No. It's only telling him what you're doing is no good. So he has had to do now a whole investigation in order to find out what is wrong with what he does. So he calls all the people from all over, all the religions, and he realizes the old nonsense, that they talk stupid things, they're not reasonable, he cannot accept it, and he has got no option, he has to call to
the Jew,
which he didn't even think to call them, because they were like a minority, not important, nobody looked at them. So he calls this guy, which is Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the Chaver, is called him Sefer Kuzari, and ask him, "What do you believe in?" He says, "I believe in God that took us out of Egypt." So the king of Kuzar, like saying in our language, is starting to laugh. "What do you mean?" Everybody then asking him, "What do you believe in?" They say, "We believe in God who created everything, who created the world. And you're telling me that your God took you out of Egypt? Big deal! What, you stupid or something?" But then he is puzzled. Because you understand, realize there is something here. And the whole book of Kuzari is built on Yetziat Mitzrayim. Because he tells him, you know, we're talking about God took us out of Egypt. But if you ask all the others, if they believe in God that took Am Yisrael out of Egypt, they will all tell you, yes. So who did the God they believe in that created the world take out of Egypt? Them? Us. So now starts the whole story. And he proves it to him, step by step, that God is the one, the only one, and the only true religion is the Jewish religion. And this is what the Seder night is about. But it is about also not complicating things. Not starting to make Seder night as something that on a very high level that nobody understands what it's all about. And it always reminds me, when I got married, in the first few years, we had our Seder night with my in-laws, and there was another family that they did Aliyah together from England. They were from Manchester and they were from London, but at the Ulpan in Netanya, they met and they become very good friends. So the first Seder night we did was with this family. That this family, they had four kids, three boys and one girl, and they were sitting the whole Seder night and competing with each other who is more clever than the other. And you know, I was looking at it. First of all, I didn't enjoy the Seder night. I enjoyed the meal, yes, I must say. It was a very good meal. I thought at that time that this is Seder night. But then years later, I understood that this was no Seder night. Nevertheless, we did the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is
to hear the Torah.
What's written in our Agada, when we started the Agada.
Yeah, the story.
This is the Kiddush.
My grandson's writing the Agada. It's ready.
Afilu kulanu chachamim. Vekulanu, we all clever and we wise. Kulanu zkenim. We all old. We all kulanu yodim et haTorah. We all know the Torah. Mitzvah aleinu. There is a mitzvah to what? To do what?
To
lesaper biyetziat Mitzrayim. Lesaper. To tell the story. Not chidushim, not complicated thing, not Kabbalah, not Ba'aseh HaMerkava, not angels. The story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. V'chol amarbe lesaper b'mitziat Mitzrayim harei zeh meshubach. And you have to tell this story more and more. And then, right away, we meet this famous story with those five rabbis, which are the greatest rabbi we know. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Eliezer Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva, by the way, is the Rebbe of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So we understand, if he is the Rebbe of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, so he knew Kabbalah. He knew things that we all don't know. Moshe Rabbeinu himself says, when God is showing him all the generations and who are going to be the leaders and Gdolei Ador and the rabbis, and they get to Rabbi Akiva, so Moshe Rabbeinu is asking God, he says, you've got a guy like this in your world and you giving the Torah by me? And talking about Rabbi Akiva. You have a guy like this in your, so understand, who is this Rabbi Akiva? So what is he doing at that night? He's telling them about things he saw in heaven, about heavenly things and high level store. No! והיו מספרים ביציאת מצרים כל אותו הלילה. They were telling the story of getting out of the Exodus the whole night through till the moment עד שבאו תלמידיהם ואמרו להם רבותינו, הגיע זמן קריאת שמע של שחרית. So if they were telling the stories, who are we to even think
that
we have to start to get to high levels of learning? No, that's not the idea. And that's not Pesach, and that's not Leva Seder. Because the whole idea of the Seder night is to increase our belief in God. To renew our belief. That's Achodesh Hazeh Lachem. Litchadesh. To renew. To start again. And start from new in our belief. Why? Because through the whole year, we went through certain procedures and sometimes we thought that maybe we have something to do with it. Maybe Bibi Netanyahu is deciding what to do. Maybe the Hezbollah decide what to do. The Hamas. Donald Trump. Achashverosh in the Megillah. No, nobody decides what to do. There is only one that decides what to do, and this is God. But we have to put it in our mind. We cannot just go through the year, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and we don't even know what we're talking about, like we say it like robots. We have to understand what it's all about and tell the story. And how do you tell the story? What is the best way to tell a story? This is another issue. In order to tell the story in the right way, you might say, who am I to tell a story? I don't know how to tell stories. I haven't got this way of talking. I'm not interesting enough. people won't listen to me. And maybe sometimes there is. Not everybody knows how to talk. But we are being asked to tell the story. The real truth is that if we think about it, the Agoda tells us that each one of us has to see himself like he is going out of Egypt now. What is the idea behind it? We have to feel.
To experience.
To feel the feeling of going out of Egypt. Because otherwise, you cannot tell the story. You know, if a kid comes and wants to tell us a story of something that happened to him right now in the street, even if he hasn't got all the right words, we all listen very carefully to hear his story. And it's very interesting. Why? Because he is telling to you what happened to him right now. And even if he hasn't got all the words, or the right words, still we listen and we're excited. So this is the way to say the Agada. So how do we do this? We have to feel like we are coming out of Egypt now. For example, to try to explain today what is being a slave in this generation. It's very hard. We've got everything. How can you explain to them what is being a slave and getting free from slavery? Okay, that's the slave. That's the slave that they will understand. But they will not even understand for... We don't have to go far away in history. We just have to go a few years. 60, 70 years. The Holocaust.
Yeah.
Jews keeping Seder night in the ghettos. In the concentration camps, not knowing even if tomorrow morning they will survive. And they do the Pesach. They understood what it is being a slave. They really understood it. But we have to give a certain feeling to the kids. What this is all about. What is God taking us out of Egypt from slavery to freedom? So one of the ways is to tell them a story and get them involved in the story. How do you do this? For example, when we get to the 10 plagues, how do I explain to the kids about the 10 plagues? So there are a lot of systems. But sometimes you don't need a real trick. You just need to tell it like it's happening now. For example, telling the kids, we are now in Egypt, and our father has to wake up very early in the morning, and go to work for this Egyptian. And if he's getting a little late, this Egyptian comes in and beats him up in front of us and drags him out to do his job. One day we wake up, and our father sits there eating breakfast like he's got the whole day. And it's already time to go to work. So we ask our father, Father, you have to go to work. Today I'm not going to work. He says, what do you mean? You don't go to work, the Egyptian is going to come, he's going to hit you and hit us. Who knows what's going to happen? So don't worry, everything okay. But they are worried. We are worried, we don't know what's going to happen. So at least we put the tables and all the things on the door that if the Egyptian guy comes, you cannot go in. And what we were fear, what we are afraid of, happens. We hear suddenly, knocks at the door. And who is this outside? The Egyptian. We don't answer. But he's not harder. And we really getting to start frightening. Well, he's not going to come in and who knows what's going to happen. And our father just gets up, moves the tables, and opens the door to the Egyptian. And the Egyptian is standing now outside. He's got a glass in his hand. Give me water, please. Give me water, please. Water, I want water. So our father goes to the thing, brings the water. And he's drinking the water, he's very thirsty. He looks terrible. And he drinks the water, and suddenly, when the water touches his mouth, the water turns into
blood.
Okay. That's it, I don't have to go on. I think everybody understood what we're talking about. And everybody got the feeling. And this is with no tricks, just telling a story.
Have nightmares, but that's okay.
That's right. And they're scared. Oh, wow. They're scared enough.
For what?
That an Arab will come to the door in Ramat Beit Shemesh.
But here...
They are dead scared.
Yeah, but here... Here, the Egyptian is the guy that suffers, not we. That's exactly the point. From one side, you made the picture clear what it is, the feeling of being a slave, something close to it, it's not a real feeling. And from the other side, you also show them the plague of blood. There are a lot of other things that we have to do. But the thing is, that the idea is to be involved.
I like the one with the bag and you.
There are a lot of other things.
Well, you have some place that you make this
and set the time switch. The dog
to hold all these ideas. Yeah.
I read here, I read there, and you through the years.
The last year you made Horshech, and he put these things that glance.
The glance in the dark, yes.
And
how was it? Didn't work.
It didn't work.
Because we have two Shon Shabbat in the salon.
Half and half.
So to put together to be Choshech was...
But it was...
Suddenly punch his shoes, but there is not Choshech.
And he put chocolates in each
You know what you can do? Do it in a different room. You do it in a different room. When it's going to happen, the part that is dark, this is where you're going to put all those things.
Of course.
And you tell them, go... And look what's happening in the next room in the dark. So then they were already. You have to be a little.
Okay.
Anyway, so another interesting thing about our Seder night is that the whole thing starts with Manishtana. The beginning of everything is Manishtana. Now. Every time I ask the same question, how many questions have you got in Manishtana? One question. Four answers.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize it.
What is the difference?
Manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halalot. That's the question. Then the answer is, שבכל הלילות אנו אוכלים חמץ ומצה, הלילה הזה כולו מצה. שבכל הלילות, second answer. אנו אוכלים שער ירקות, הלילה הזה מרוב. But what's happening is, we're singing it. מה נשתנה הלילה הזה מכל הלילות, שבכל הלילות אנו אוכלים חמץ ומצה, הלילה הזה, הלילה הזה כולו מצה. הלילה הזה, הלילה הזה כולו מצה. Finish the first question, now second one. שבכל הלילות, it's the same tune as מה נשתנה הלילה הזה, שבכל הלילות אנו אוכלים שער ירקות. So everybody thinks that it's man, it's not a laila, it's also shebechol, but that's not another question. It's another answer. So, first of all, there is one question and four answers.
That's a good question, Dory.
So, in the beginning we see that this night is a special night. Now why is all this idea that all the night we eat this, and this night we eat this, and this night we do this? This is the idea that make people be interested in asking questions. Because the best way to understand and to put it inside us and to increase the belief is when we ask questions and get answers. And this is why the angels that reveals himself to the king of Kuzah doesn't tell him what to do. He wants him to find the answers by himself. To ask the questions and get the answer. Because this is the only way to get to real belief. Because if you're just giving it, they're giving it to you, so he comes in here and a lot of times gets out from the other side. But if you asking a question, what is this? It goes in your head. And this is, by the way, the best, if you want to learn something, the best way to learn is through questions and answers. To be involved, the questions and answers. The whole Agada is built on this. Because the best educating way is to ask questions and get answers. Even when you give a lecture, somebody who gives a lecture and just stands there and speaks and speaks and speaks and speaks and speaks and nobody asking anything, it's not the same, but people are involved and asking questions. So in other words, if we want the Seder night to be good, we need questions and answers. It's built like this. But we have to explain it in a way that everybody understands. So, Manishtana is beginning the idea that we are asking this night question. There are a lot of strange things happening on the table and the way we say and what we say. So people will ask questions and get answers. Then there is the next thing that we have to take in consideration. And this is כנגד ארבעה בנים דיברה התורה. We have four sons. חכם, רשע, תם, ושאינו יודע לשאול. Those four sons. What is the Agada trying to tell us? First of all,
it goes on too cold.
We have to understand who is sitting with us on the Seder night. There are different types of people, different attitudes, and some people are very clever, some people are very intelligent, some people are simple people. We have kids, we have adults, we have people that speak different languages. We have to think about it. That's why that to our parsha I say, Isha ki tazriya ve'alda zachar. Isha ki tazriya, a woman will conceive, and she has a baby boy. Who says it's going to be a baby boy? It can also be a baby girl. So why is the Torah telling us, ve'alda, in past, like it is a fact. Because, sof ma'aseh b'machashava tchila. The thoughts you think while you're doing something, they are going to affect what's going to be the result. Yeah. So if we want a Seder night to be a good Seder night, we have to think before and prepare ourselves in order to have a good Seder night. Otherwise, it's going to be another Seder night, sometimes even a boring Seder night, that everybody is looking for the dinner to come as quickly as possible. And then after dinner, you know, after you drink already two glasses of wine, you the other two you drink underneath, you drink underneath the table lying
the
down.
My family fall asleep, only the women and the men. So
we want the Seder night to be a little different. So we have to think about it before. So we have to know who is sitting with us on the Seder night. So we have the Chacham and the Rasha and the Tam v'sheino yodea lishol. What is the Chacham? What is the Rasha? What is the Tam? We'll leave it for next week. Be'ezrat Hashem Bli Neder, we'll talk about them. But before we talk about them, today we'll finish this shiur with understanding that when we prepare ourselves for the Seder night, it's not only taking consideration who is going to be there. It's taking all the other things in, for example, when we come to shiur, come back from shiur, it's quite late. You have to think about it. Mm-hmm. Because it's starting, the clock is changed, it's quite late. Yeah. And as we said in the Agada, that they were sitting there till the morning, we cannot sit till the morning because we have to eat the Korban Pesach, which is the Afikoman. We have to eat it at midnight, before midnight. So in order to do this, we have to make the Seder night from one side quicker, not just to drag it. Interesting.
Why is that you have to eat by 12 o'clock?
Because you're not allowed afterwards to eat the Korban. It's against the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach, you're allowed to eat till the middle of the night. Mm. But the Eved, they said till the morning. The Chacham himself, you have to finish the Korban Pesach in the middle of the night.
So the
Afikoman that is against the Korban Pesach, we have to eat it. By the way, we also have to eat it that we are a little hungry, which is also another problem. Because after the meal, you just stuff yourself, and it's also a problem, which we have to think about it. But we do what we can. So we have to. But again, everything is, before we sit on Seder, for example, if we have little kids, if we're coming late, so what should we do? We should prepare ourselves before. In other words, the Seder's table should be ready before we go to shul, with everything on it. So, and if you have little kids, even to show them, you sit here, you sit here, you sit here. So the minute we come home,
get your seat.
We start the Seder night. And you know, somebody told I heard a story told, we were studying it, when they were doing almost to the middle of the Seder night, the family, they heard them doing Kiddush. Why? Because they didn't prepare anything before. And then when they came from shul, they started organizing the table, organizing everything, and it takes time.
And then
explaining to them where to sit, and what this, and fighting, no, I don't want to sit here, I want to sit there. But if you do this all before, so that's what I'm saying, if you do it all before, so everybody knows I'm going to sit here. And I'm going to sit here. So then we come and we start the Seder night. And the basic thing is, ve'igadeta lebincha bayom, there's a mitzvah. The mitzvah of the night is to tell our children. So if we have a beautiful Seder night and we didn't say anything to our children about Yitziat Mitzrayim, did we do the mitzvah or not?
No.
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 A question.
Yes.
In the Haggadah say that the four rabbis, five rabbis were sitting till came the time to shachar.
Yes. Yeah.
What about the afikoman for them?
That's what I said just 2 minutes ago. That we cannot do what they did. That's what
why?
I just said.
Why?
Because we have to eat the afikoman.
Yeah, but why?
I don't know. Maybe they eat, by the way, maybe they eat the afikoman and they then go on, look like us. As with afikoman goes, maybe they had the afikoman and then they go went on telling the stories. Till it came. It doesn't say they didn't eat afikoman. I'm saying, telling to us, we're going with the agado. So you have to take in consideration that when you get to the point of the afikoman, it has to be before midnight.
Yeah.
So you have to order. If you can then continue and telling story, we said, call hamarbe lesaper mitziat mitzrayim areize meshubach. No problem. You can tell till shachri. And shachri, they came there, it's shachri time. You have to come now and daven. But there's no problem. On the contrary, those who can, bevakasha. But I don't, maybe, I don't know. I'm after four glasses, I cannot go on. I hardly finished the four glasses. So
yeah. But last is eight.
Yes.
No, but this is, you have the measure, of course. You don't have to drink all the glass.
Yeah, no, the problem is, they have to think about it also. You have to drink rough course.
Rough course.
Yes, you have to drink the majority of the glass.
Yeah, but
so you have to take normal glasses because sometimes, you know, especially when you go to a hotel, they give you those wine glasses that are like this. So if you have to drink most of the glass, believe me, after four glasses, they have to drag you.
Yeah,
we have glasses that is signed.
But by the way, also don't drink sweet wine, only dry wine.
No, dry
sweet wine. Makes you drunk in a minute. No, you have to, really.
I know, but
sweet wine, because of the sugar and everything, after two glasses, you cannot go on. You're finished. But dry wine, you can drink more, much more.
It should be red, right?
Yes.
Red wine.
Red, dry wine.
You can't have grape juice.
But
what? You can, of course you can.
You can never.
Yes, you can, but those who want to do it like in the best way, if you can.
How much? Wine.
Yes, the problem is there is a revi. Yeah, revi. But the problem is that I'm saying again, there are two things. You should drink rov course, the most, like if the glass is like this, you have to drink at least most of it.
Three quarters.
Everything.
Three quarters. If it's the best thing to drink everything.
Yeah.
The whole glass. I'm saying, no. So this is why some people drink grape juice.
Yeah,
because they cannot drink wine.
We have a glass that is signed.
But the problem is with the size of the glass also.
What? Measure it beforehand.
What you should do is don't take two big glasses. Take a small glass. We go a lot of times to hotel. Minimum. Also this year we're not going to be here. So the hotel, they give you those glasses. And you know, so every time I'm asking them, have you got smaller glasses? Because unfortunately I've got this glass. I have to drink, of course, at least. It's not so much. The problem is you have to need a glass. Not to be. Sorry?
Bring your own glass.
Yeah, but I always say it to me and I don't forget.
Write it in your
Put it in the suitcase.
Yes.
But you get those little ones.
No, you have to take, it shouldn't be too small. No. So you have to take the measurements.
Yeah.
You have to ask. I don't remember now exactly how much of it is in milliliters, but you can look it in Google, you can find it very on the spot. And then you can ask for glasses that are, they have this amount, and then it's no problem. You don't have to drink a whole glass like this. And you see, this is again, why do we talk about it now? Because this is again, those are all the preparation before. You cannot just come and sit and then you have all the problem. The same thing is to think how much do we have to eat from the matzah, which is also another problem. What is kazai? And by the way, it's not so terrible. It's not so terrible for thing.
You can't eat dress.
Let me
answer.
In the other side, as I used to prepare in its what, how much matzah you have for everyone, so you don't have to distribute it, because this takes a long time. You put for days and days, and then sandwiches, and you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also a problem. Not everyone does what they have to do.
No, they don't like the matzah that he.
There is, by the way, there are special matzahs, like, but they are very expensive. People say that they are
not delicious. Well, the round is,
which one?
I don't remember the name. There is a special mafia that does them. And they are unbelievable. I don't know how to taste this. I normally, I guess, for the same night matzahs that my brother does by himself. They have a group of people, there are a lot of people made by two. And they made the matzah by itself. So he prepares to me every time for the Seder night, the matzah shmura.
I know, but I like the
whatever it is, that's why I try to eat. But again, it's not so terrible. Like, people think they have all the measurements. It's not so terrible. The measurements are not so terrible. And again, you see, all those things we're talking about, that's why I thought about not wait for the last week, or start to talk a little before, because this way we are, first of all, we put it in our head, and this, by the way, this is already a part of the mitzvah. It's a big, what we're doing today is a very big mitzvah, because we are not doing just
In the night,
we are doing Sof Maaseh B'Machshava Tchila. We're doing Ishaki Tazriya V'Yada Zachar. We are thinking before. We are preparing ourselves before. And everything that you prepare yourself for, it's much better than without preparation. Even when davening, they said that our sages, they used to come an hour before davening in order to prepare themselves for davening. And you know, the whole davening looks different. It's like, for example, especially in Mincha, it can happen when people are in a rush and they don't always keep the right time. And suddenly, I have to go to Mincha. So they run to Mincha. They come at the last minute. And how do you think the davening is going to look? The same way. Because they're in a rush. It's psychology. But if you come a few minutes before and you sit and you come down and you put all the other things out and then you daven, it's a whole different thing. And especially this special night. If we prepare ourselves, believe me, you will see it. You will feel it at the night. It will be a different night. It will be a much higher level night. There's not a shame. We should prepare ourselves the best way.
To the